Hey, it's the menstruator. No whistles or bells, just me. And a shitty microphone clamped to my shirt. It's the menstruator podcast, however you choose to say it. I'm a little revved up, a little riled up, drinking some tea. And I had to have some plumbing done at my house this morning at the hands of the people who actually own where I live, lesbians. Just to let it be clear, I'm a lesbian as well. And this gentleman who came to fix it was hired by the lesbians, which is upsetting to me. But what are you going to do? Okay. These people had done a lot of work on this house, and they knew the lay of the land. They were probably the ones to put the plastic pipe in so they could come later and replace it with a metal pipe. So I sit on the couch reading my scripture, which is a book called For Lesbians Only, which is a separate anthology, edited by Sarah Lucia Hoagland and Julia Penelope, which features writing from, and also they call For Lesbians Only, they call it Flow, which is amazing. Anyway, this was published by Only Women Press of England, 1970 to 1984. Are the writings. They're from that time date. And I'm going to do what those religious types do, right? When they have had a trying situation. They sit and they read from their Bible. This is my Bible, I've decided. And before I get all big and bad, I'll let you know that I just got this book recently because it was hard for me to find. And I'm just going to open it up to the beginning and try to cast aside the demons of patriarchy. Of men who, I can't even say the word. I'm going to cast out the oppression by reading. The Women Identified Woman, Radical Lesbians, 1970. What is a lesbian? A lesbian is the rage of all women, condensed to the point of explosion. She is the woman who often, beginning at an early age, acts in accordance with her inner compulsion to be a more complete and freer human being than her society, perhaps then, but certainly later, cares to allow her. These needs and actions over a period of years bring her into painful conflict with people, situations, the accepted ways of thinking, feeling, and behaving until she's in a state of continual war with everything around her and usually with herself. She may not be fully conscious of the political implications of what for her began as a personal necessity, but on some level she is not been able to accept the limitations and oppression laid on her by the most basic role of her society, the female role. The turmoil she experiences tends to induce guilt proportional to the degree of which she feels she's not meeting social expectations and/or eventually drives her to question and analyze what the rest of her society more or less accepts. She's forced to evolve her own life pattern, often living much of her life alone, learning usually much earlier than her straight heterosexual sisters about the essential aloneness of life, which the myth of marriage obscures, and about the reality of illusions. To the extent that she cannot expel the heavy socialization that goes with being female, she can never truly find peace with herself, for she is caught somewhere between accepting society's view of her, in which case she cannot accept herself, and coming to understand what the society, what the sexist society has done to her and why it is functional and necessary for her to do so. Those of us who work that through find ourselves on the other side of a torturous journey through a night that may have been decades long. The perspective gained from that journey, the liberation of self, the inner peace, the real love of self and of all women is something to be shared with all women because we are all women. It should first be understood that lesbianism, like male homosexuality, is a category of behavior possibly only in a sexist society characterized by rigid sex roles and dominated by male supremacy. Those sex roles dehumanize women by defining us as a supportive, serving caste in relation to the master caste of men, and emotionally cripple men by demanding that they be alienated from their own bodies and emotions in order to perform their economic, political, military functions effectively. Homosexuality is a byproduct of a particular way of setting up roles or approved patterns of behavior on the basis of sex. As such, it is an inauthentic, not consonant with reality category. In a society in which men do not oppress women and sexual expression is allowed to follow feelings, the categories of homosexuality and heterosexuality would disappear. But lesbianism is also different from male homosexuality and serves a different function in society. Dyke is a different kind of put-down from faggot, although both imply you're not playing your socially assigned sex role, are not therefore a real woman or a real man. The grudging admiration felt for the tomboy and the queasiness felt around a sissy boy point to the same thing, the contempt in which women, or those who play a female role, are held. And the investment in keeping women in these roles is very great. Lesbian is the word, the label, the condition that holds women in line. When a woman hears this word tossed her way, she knows she's stepping out of line. She knows that she has crossed the terrible boundary of her sex role. She recoils, she protests, she reshapes her actions to gain approval. Lesbian is a label invented by the man to throw at any woman, who dares to be his equal, who dares to challenge his prerogatives, including that of all women as part of the exchange medium among men, who dares to assert the primacy of her own needs. To have the label applied to people active in women's liberation is just the most recent instant of a long history. Other women who will recall that not so long ago, any woman who was successful, independent, not orienting her whole life about a man, would hear this word. For in this sexist society, for a woman to be independent means she can't be a woman. She must be a dyke. That in itself should tell us where women are at. It says as clearly as can be said, women and person are contradictory terms. For a lesbian is not considered a real woman. And yet, in popular thinking, there's really only one essential difference between a lesbian and other women, that of sexual orientation. Which is to say, when you strip off all the packaging, you must finally realize that the essence of being woman is to get fucked by men. Lesbian is one of the sexual categories by which men have divided up humanity. While all women are dehumanized as sex objects, as objects of men, they are given certain compensations. Identification with his power, his ego, his status, his protection from other males, feeling like a real woman, finding social acceptance by adhering to her role, etc. Should a woman confront herself by confronting another woman, there are fewer rationalizations, fewer buffers by which to avoid the stark horror of her dehumanization condition. Herein, we find the overriding fear of many women towards exploring intimate relationships with other women. The fear of her being used as a sexual object by a woman, which not only will bring no male connection compensations, but also will reveal the void, which is woman's real situation. This dehumanization is expressed when a straight woman learns that a sister is a lesbian. She begins to relate to her role. You know what? Can I just tell you that this chokes me up a little bit? All right. This dehumanization is expressed when a straight woman learns that a sister is a lesbian. She begins to relate to her lesbian sister as a potential sex object, laying a surrogate male role on the lesbian. This reveals her heterosexual conditioning to make herself into an object when sex is potentially involved in a relationship, and it denies the lesbian her full humanity. For women, especially those in the movement, to perceive their lesbian sisters through this male grid of role definitions is to accept this male culture conditioning and to oppress their sisters much as they themselves have been oppressed by men. Are we going to continue the male classification system of defining all females in sexual relation to some other category of people? Affixing the label lesbian not only to a woman who aspires to be a person, but also to any situation of real love, real solidarity, real primacy among women in a primary form of divisiveness among women, it is the condition which keeps women within the confines of the feminine role, and it is the debunking scare term that keeps women from forming any primary attachments, groups, or associations among ourselves. Women in the movement have, in many cases, gone to great lengths to avoid discussion and confrontation with the issue of lesbianism. It puts people up tight. They're hostile, evasive, or try to incorporate into some broader issue. They would rather not talk about it. If they have to, they try to dismiss it as a lavender herring. But it is a no-side issue. It is absolutely essential to the success and fulfillment of the women's liberation movement that this issue be dealt with. As long as the label dyke can be used to frighten women into a less militant stand, keep her separate from her sisters, keep her from giving primacy to anything other than men and family, then to that extent she's controlled by the male culture. Until women see in each other the possibility of primal commitment, which includes sexual love, they will be denying themselves the love and value they readily accord to men, thus affirming their second-class status. As long as male acceptability is primary both to individual women and to the movement as a whole, the term lesbian will be used effectively against women. Insofar as women want only more privileges within the system, they do not want to antagonize male power. They instead seek acceptability for women's liberation, and the most crucial aspect of the acceptability is to deny lesbianism, i.e. deny any fundamental challenge to the basis of the female role. It should also be said that some younger, more radical women have honestly begun to discuss lesbianism, but so far it has been primary as a sexual alternative to men. This, however, is still giving primacy to men, both because the idea of relating more completely to women occurs as a negative reaction to men, and because the lesbian relationship is being characterized simply by sex, which is divisive and sexist. On one level, which is both personal and political, women may withdraw emotional and sexual energies from men and work out various alternatives for those energies in their own lives. On a different political, psychological level, it must be understood that what is crucial is that women begin disengaging from male-defined responsive patterns. In the privacy of our own psyches, we must cut those cords to the core. For irrespective of where our love and sexual energies flow, if we are male-identified in our heads, we cannot realize our autonomy as human beings. The consequence of internalizing this role is an enormous reservoir of self-hate. This is not to say the self-hate is recognized or accepted as such. Indeed, most women would deny it. It may be experienced as discomfort with her role, as feeling empty, as numbness, as restlessness, a paralyzing anxiety at the center. Alternatively, it may be expressed in shrill defensiveness of the glory and destiny of her role, but it does exist often beneath the edge of her consciousness, poisoning her existence, keeping her alienated from herself, her own needs, and rendering her a stranger to other women. Women hate both themselves and other women. They try to escape by identifying with the oppressor, living through him, gaining status and identity from his ego, his power, his accomplishments, and by not identifying with other empty vessels like themselves. Women resist relating on all levels to other women who will reflect their own oppression, their own secondary status, their own self-hatred. For to confront another woman is finally to confront oneself, the self we have gone to such lengths to avoid. And in that mirror, we know we cannot really respect and love that which we have been made to be. As the source of self-hate and the lack of real self are rooted in our male-given identity, we must create a new sense of self. As long as we cling to the idea of being a woman, we will sense some conflict with that insipid self. That sense of I, that sense of a whole person, it's very difficult to realize and accept that being feminine and being a whole person are the hell was that? I'm telling you, I have a lesbian ghost that lives in my house. And she's very stirred up right now. I don't know what just happened. My computer went a little haywire. I think that my computer shorts out my microphone, but what do you want? It's male made. How to Stop Choking to Death or Separatism. Revolutionary Lesbians, 1971. We're constantly asked to explain, actually to justify, our vision of society. Separatism bothers an incredible number of people, or so it seems, especially males. Some males are sympathetic, but worried. Others are furiously resentful, and rightly so. They sense the threat to their control. We see separatism as working directly only with women. Any contact with males, especially male-dominated groups, is indirect primarily through the paper. We do not participate in discussion groups with men. All our energies and time is spent with women and working on things which will further our liberation. To us, separatism has meant that no new relationships with men are formed, and that there is a changing, a slow withering away of old male friendships. Separatism is a crucial position to us for many reasons, and our experiences have reinforced this position over and over. We know that women are constantly catering to the needs of men, serving their endless demands, and we know that whenever a man is in a group, our growth and feelings are subordinated to the demands of men. With other women, we have more freedom to discover and strengthen our abilities. We're no longer defined by men, but by ourselves. One of the most common problems of women is that we are forced into being defined or living through a family, a boyfriend, a husband. When a woman finds herself without male protection, she's suddenly faced with the realization that she doesn't have any identity. She doesn't know who she is. Men will continue doing this to women to keep us dependent financially and emotionally in order to keep women sucking up to men and supporting them. But with other women, we can grow stronger and achieve an honest enjoyment of ourselves, which is not possible in heterosexual relationships. Two population researchers at Stanford discovered that men in crowded conditions, enough room to sit but not to lie down, would become disagreeable, competitive, and grow to like each other less. Women in the same crowded conditions would become more lenient, comfortable, and grow to like each other more. The solution suggested by two male researchers for the problem? Stick a chick in the crowd. Basic assumption, the problem is men's problem. Not why the hell do women have to put up with men and their macho values? After all, history is men. Women are here to comfort men. After all, the shit they do to each other. Every time we talk in mixed groups, the women are usually afraid at first of telling the men that we really do feel more comfortable and are able to communicate better with other women. But eventually, the women always decide to separate into all women's groups. These groups were almost always exciting and revealing, and most women wouldn't even want to return to the original mixed group. If we did return to talk with the men, we would never be able to say one word. The men will invariably dominate everything. It is always their problems, their needs, their egos, their discussion, and their lives. In one group, both the women of the staff and the lesbians were infuriated. When we returned from our women's group, the men couldn't seem to understand why the women needed to be together without them. After all, they didn't like being with only men. Even though the women explained that they couldn't talk as long as men were present, the men continued to do all the talking. All the men seemed to care about was keeping their women. They said, if we have to change, then you have to help us. But for some reason, the women didn't seem as interested in staying with the men as the men were with the women. As for helping men, that's what they've been doing all of their lives. The men never seem to think that they should work with other men, but then again, they really do dislike each other. But it is men who know the training that they and all men go through, and it's only men and not women who can get inside the male socialization process and begin to break it down. In the end, men have to change the way they act with other men, but as long as men are getting the attention and energy of women, they will not face their sexism. Separatism is not a necessity only for women, it's a necessity for men. Revolutionary lesbians see their struggle as a total one, as a struggle for a non-exploitive communist society. Although we have carved out some space in which we can move, we know that the word freedom is not a meaningful term in this society. We feel that none of us will be able to be free until all forms of oppression, all exploitive relationships are eliminated. We commit ourselves to that struggle for real liberation. And that was pretty powerful stuff. I'm wondering if I still feel the demons or not. As I think about that man calling me hun. And why would he call me hun? Then he proceeded to tell me how the people that own this house are really nice people. And I'm like, do you not know that I'm a lesbian? Can you not smell it on me? Do you not look at me? Do you not see that there's no dirty dishes in my sink and know I'm a lesbian? Yeah, that's what I thought. Ah! And you'll have to bear with me for The Furies by Ginny Burson in 1972 because there's a lot of Greek words and I don't like to really speak out loud. The story of the Furies is a story of strong, powerful women, the angry ones, the avengers of matricide, the protectors of women. Three Greek goddesses, they were described by men, as having snakes for hair, bloodshot eyes, and bats' wings. Like lesbians today, they were cursed and feared. They were born when heaven, the male symbol, was castrated by his son at the urging of earth, the female symbol. The blood from the wound fell on earth and fertilized her, and the Furies were born. Their names were Alecto, never ceasing, Tisiphone, avenger of blood, and Megara, grudger. Once extremely powerful, they represented the supremacy of women and the primacy of mother rights. Their most famous exploit, famous because in it they lost much of their power, involves Orestes in the last episode connecting with the cycle of the Trojan War. Orestes, acting on the orders of the sun god Apollo, killed his mother because she had killed his father. She had killed the father because he had sacrificed their daughter in order to get favorable winds so his fleet could sail to Troy. Because, you know, daughters are expendable. The Furies tormented Orestes They literally drove him crazy, putting him under a spell where for days he could not eat or wash his bloodstained hands. He bit off his fingers to try to appease them, but to no avail. Finally, in desperation, Orestes went before the court of Athena to plead his case. The point at issue was whether matricide was justifiable to avenge your father's murder. Or in other words, whether men or women were to dominate. Apollo defended Orestes and totally denied the importance of motherhood, claiming that women were no more than sperm receptacles for men, and that the father, the only parent worthy of the name. One might have thought that Athena, goddess of wisdom, would have condemned Orestes, but Athena was the creation of the male god Zeus, sprung full-grown from his head, the first token woman. Athena decided for Orestes. Some mythologists say that Zeus, Athena, and Apollo had conspired from the beginning, ordering Orestes to kill his mother in order to put an end, once and for all, to the religious belief that motherhood was more divine than fatherhood. In any case, that was the result. The Furies were, of course, furious and threatened to lay waste the city of Athens. But Athena had a direct line to Zeus, king of the gods, and she told the Furies to accept the new male supremacist order or lose everything. Some of the Furies and their followers relented, and the rest pursued Orestes until his death. We call our paper the Furies because we are also angry. We are angry because we are oppressed by male supremacy. We have been fucked over all our lives by a system which is based on the domination of men over women, which defines male as good and female as only as good as the man you are with. It is a system in which heterosexuality is rigidly enforced and lesbianism rigidly suppressed. It is a system which has further divided us by class, race, and nationality. We're working to change this system, which has been kept us separate and powerless for so long. We are a collective of 12 lesbians living and working in Washington, D.C. We are rural and urban from the Southwest, Midwest, South, and Northeast. Our ages range from 18 to 28. We are high school dropouts and PhD candidates. We are lower class, middle, and upper middle class. We are white. Some of us have been lesbians for 12 years, others for 10 months. We are committed to ending all oppressions by attacking their roots, male supremacy. We believe the Furies will make important contributions to the growing movement to destroy sexism. As a collective, in addition to outside projects, we're spending much time building an ideology in which is the basis for action. For too long, women in the movement have fallen prey to the very male propaganda they seek to refute. They have rejected thought, building an ideology, and all intellectual activity as the realm of men, and tried to build a politics based only on feelings, the area traditionally left to women. The philosophy has been, if it feels good, it's okay. If not, forget it. But that is like saying that strength, which is male, which is a male characteristic, should be left to men and women should embrace weakness. Most straight women, to say nothing of men, feel afraid of contemptuous lesbians. They fear and contempt. That fear and contempt is similar to the feelings middle-class whites have towards blacks or lower-class people. These feelings are the result of our socialization and are hardly worth glorifying. This is not to say that feelings are irrelevant, only that they are derived from our experience, which is limited by our class, race, etc. Furthermore, feelings are too often used to excuse inaction and inability to change. A political movement cannot advance without systematic thought and practical organization. The haphazard, non-strategic, zigzag tactics of the straight women's movement, the male left, and many other so-called revolutionary groups have led only to frustration and dissolution. We do not want to make those same mistakes. Our ideology forms the basis for developing long-range strategies and short-term tactics, projects, and actions. The base of our ideological thought is sexism is the root of all other oppressions, and lesbian and women oppression will not end by smashing capitalism, racism, and imperialism. Lesbianism is not a matter of sexual preference, but rather one of political choice, which every woman must make if she's to become a woman identified, to become woman identified, and thereby end male supremacy. Lesbians, as outcasts from every culture but their own, have the most to gain by ending class, race, and national supremacy within their own ranks. Lesbians must get out of the straight women's movement and form their own movement in order to be taken seriously to stop straight women from oppressing us and to force straight women to deal with their own lesbianism. Lesbians cannot develop a common politics with women who do not accept lesbianism as a political issue. In the Furies, we will be dealing with these issues and sharing our thoughts with you. We want to build a movement in this country and in the world which can effectively stop the violent, sick, oppressive acts of male supremacy. We want to build a movement which makes all people free. For the Chinese women whose feet were bound and crippled, for the African women whose clitoris were mutilated, for every woman who's ever been raped, physically, economically, and psychologically, we take the name of the Furies, goddess of vengeance and protectors of women. I'm slightly choked up after that. That's delightful. I have chills. I have total chills. Oh, man. Over the Walls. Gutter Die Collective, 1973. Nothing is better, by the way, from 1973. I think we're paid 77 cents on the dollar now instead of 73. The politics of this paper are representatives of a growing movement of dyke separatists expanding throughout the country. We come from many and varied backgrounds, a Lower East Side kid, the Midwest, Northwest, and the West, lower class, working class, and middle class, Puerto Ricans, and whites. Some of us were dykes before the women's movement, and some of us dykes came out through the women's movement, which I love. But where we are now is what counts, and where we are going is what really matters. At this time in history, we must learn to band together for our own survival in order that we might consolidate our strengths to fight off the male supremacist society that surrounds us and continues to rape our world. Separatism. Since we do not relate to men at all, and never will, this is not aimed at them, but instead towards certain lesbians and women. Separatism as a position is the way in which we relate to other lesbians, women, and the enemy. The only mention I will make of straight women who relate to men on a close sexual level is that it is up to the straight feminists to reform them. Straight heterosexual women can't be trusted in any real situation because they will sell you out if it gets too heavy for them. Men are the focal point of their lives. Bisexual women have a similar problem with men. Even though they are partly in touch with their feelings in that they are loving women, they have not given up their heterosexual privilege. Male approval and identification is still primary to their existence. By being liberated enough to relate sexually to women, they are giving men an extra amount of titillation. Any woman who has tried to explain her lesbianism to a man realizes how exciting and challenging she becomes to him. This is even more dangerous when women who relate only to women are brought into contact with men through the relating to bisexuals. The lesbian is pressured in one way or another to maintain a facet of friendliness to the prick so that her relationship with the bisexual isn't threatened, not to mention she is sharing this woman with a man. As far as straight women are concerned, or those who are celibate now but foresee giving their energies to men after they supposedly have overcome their sexism, we have found that it is very difficult to maintain an equal relationship with them. If they have a strong feminist background and accept the fact that true feminism should ultimately lead to lesbianism, then they view us, the lesbians, as more perfect, stronger persons than themselves. Therefore, much weight is laid on our actions and decisions, giving us the greater burden of responsibility. The straight feminist will tell us how much she should want to love women, but she's still afraid. In this manner, the straight woman is relieving herself of numerous oppressions by not identifying as a lesbian. She usually does not want to hear about our depressions, our hassle with other women, because that would ruin her lesbian fantasy. So we are left with her sad stories and miseries, but goddess forbid we should comfort her with a warm hug. Any way we look at it, we are expected to maintain an image and live up to it for the sake of lesbianism. We can't be truly honest and real with a straight woman. Casting aside some feminists, most straights still bear the old stereotypes of lesbians. There's something wrong or weird about you. You've got problems. You're one of those. I added that. Another way that straight women treat lesbians is the role of observer. Rather than partaking in an experience, they sit back and watch. We feel it is essential to develop close, binding relationships with those lesbians whose motivations and feelings are similar to our own. Although we feel lesbianism is the only natural way for women to interrelate, since we are physical as well as emotional beings, we realize that for many women now, in this male supremacist shit pile, intense emotional and sexual relationships are difficult and can be destructive. Therefore, women who consider themselves celibate, not lesbian, fighting for a loving female world and recognizing that there is no reconciliation with man are our allies. That was a lot, I'm sorry. Some lesbians feel a separation from the celibacy since they see that she will not open herself up completely to them. But that is a valid option for each of us. We also tend to be selective in our sexual and emotional relationships, and many of us who call ourselves lesbian do spend the greater part of our lives actually celibate. If a matriarchal celibate views lesbianism as a good and viable choice for her future and doesn't feel alienated from us dykes, then we respect her opinion to identify as a celibate and value her friendship. I need to drink some tea. I'm sorry that I read like a retard. Because we want to build relationships on a much more interpersonal level and grow, we have found it necessary to separate ourselves from certain lesbians. This part makes me sad. By separating, we don't mean it in the alienating way it sounds. We usually relate in a friendly manner to most lesbians we know. I get the lesbian giggles, though. However, there is no desire to develop close binding ties with those lesbians whom we have major clashes with. For the most part, we want to withdraw ourselves from very oppressive negative situations into more positive ones. This is the basis of our politics. When you have little or nothing in common with someone, you tend to argue over what you might consider very obvious and elementary. There's usually not much room left for any other interaction. We would prefer to avoid a lot of fighting and start dealing with the fine lines between us as well as support each other in our agreements. We are not out to build a mass movement. We have seen the futility and unreality of that dream at this time. There is too much struggling to be done internally before we can deal with other women. I'm so thirsty for my tea. Major differences begin with the extent of one's feminism. Lesbians who do not see all women as a strong motivating force in creating change are very difficult to build relationships with. To convince a lesbian that women are the first sex and are responsible for all of the technology, inventions, and structures of the past can be almost impossible, considering most people are skeptical of the few books that lead into these facts. Many lesbians are also fearful of believing that a plot has existed amongst all men to subjugate women, continually telling us lies about our heritage and culture and suppressing our capabilities, talent, skills, and knowledge. Unfortunately, there are also those lesbians who have low opinions of women in general and doesn't see men using us to their advantage as homemaker, baby maker, and sex maker. We feel it's also very important to view all men as being part of the conspiracy, since they all obtain privilege from the system and would all fight to maintain it. Therefore, it's also rather trying to be with lesbians who sport their exceptional male friendships. Some lesbians even go so far as to inquire about one another through past male acquaintances. For those lesbians who have stopped relating to all men, this kind of forced interaction creates a dangerous vulnerability. It is obviously difficult to get together with those lesbians whose political ideologies are concerned with exchanging one male hierarchy for another. We see sexism as being the basis of all of our oppressions. Throughout centuries of patriarchal rule, women have been conditioned to react in a supportive way to the multitude of anti-female institutions. Our lives have been wasted by subtle diverting of our energy into male alternatives, such as revolutionary groups designed to alter the hierarchy of male power, but keeping the oppression down on women. Some lesbians even fall into the trap of the other extreme by joining the female end of the U.S. military corps. While seeing a survival alternative to the straight world, they wind up an integral part of this system which is constantly denying us all our rights and privileges. The feminist movement around the world was sold out by the vague and empty power of the vote. Continued hope in male politicians and male power struggles is equally destructive to our lesbian feminist movement, even if these groups include intensely oppressed women. Another real difference that exists is class. If a lesbian is not heavily struggling with her class in a way that doesn't hurt lower and working class lesbians, then I don't want to get too close to her. If judgments are being made on my mannerisms, then I'm going to start scrutinizing too. Since men in society have set the standards on what's passable and what isn't, I say, throw it all away and be natural. It's valid to say that middle and upper class attitudes are an outgrowth of a destructive system that enslaves women of all races and would eliminate lesbianism if it could. Class privilege is a protection in the competitive male world. The lesbian community has no use for it. Separatism is not an end in itself. It is the means by which we attain a stronger sense of ourselves so that we can eventually work with all lesbians, and then we would be a forceful unit in attacking the oppressive elements in this society. My God, I think I have a head rush from that. That was fucking deep. I'm not going to sit here and explain it to you, because you can hear what I'm saying if you're trying to. And I'm also telling you, I know my reading is horrible, so go and find this book for lesbians only. You can find it anywhere. Come on. Actually, it took me a while to find it, but it's only because I might be slightly retarded. Separatism by Alice Gordon, Debbie and Mary, 1973. Out of our experience, We are developing a new ideology, lesbian separatism, which we feel speaks most truly and directly to the deep needs of all women. In the past, women have been forced to try to satisfy these needs through the pig government, the church jobs, and the home, the nuclear family. Given such little power and such a small sphere for participation, it is no wonder that under patriarchy, we are unsatisfied in many ways all of the time. We choose to be lesbian separatists based on our analysis that male supremacy is the basic oppression of our society, and due to this male system of domination, which was established by the patriarchies, the other major forms of oppression, racism, classism, ageism, elitism, capitalism, and fascism, were created as ways for some men to divide and conquer us all, as well as gain power over other men. Male supremacy is the system. Sexism is the method of persecution and degradation of lesbians and all women. A lesbian is a woman who loves other women emotionally and spiritually and desires to express that love and commitment sexually. Lesbian separatism is inherently linked with feminism, the ideology and practice that considers women prime. Feminists are women who get their emotional and physical identity and support from other women, women who are committed to struggling against and defeating male supremacy. Men need women for support in countless ways. They build their system on our backs. But lesbians, by loving women and not men, pose a dire threat to the very basis of male supremacy. For this analysis, we conclude that lesbians have the ability and commitment to women that will be necessary to overthrow male supremacy and its attendant forms of oppression. Further, we believe that this political ideology is the only ideology formulated thus far that offers us a structure and a plan for action that directs itself towards obtaining our goals, which we also see as goals for all women. Lesbian separatism is feminism carried to its logical conclusion. Other ideologies may recognize that sexism is bad and should be eliminated, but unless the root, the cause, is recognized and eliminated, the oppressions and problems that men foisted on us all when they overthrew the matriarchal societies can never be truly eliminated. No other ideology does this. No other ideology speaks to all of our needs. No other ideology will or can destroy patriarchy and male supremacy and build a matriarchal society. What we have undertaken is a huge, difficult task. We will need all women to be involved. But as outlined previously, I totally lost my space because a cat jumped across me. Okay, sorry. We will need all women to be involved, but as outlined previously, we have no other choice. Capitalist patriarchy has polarized things to the point where we must fight and win or die and lose everything. By overthrowing capitalist patriarchy, we will be able to get rid of the actual objective reasons for profit motive, for oppression, for divisions such as race, class, and age. Then we must eliminate the manifestations of sexism, racism, classism, ageism from all of us and our institutions. We know from the past matriarchies that women can build advanced societies without there being economic classes, without exclusion or prejudice based on race, etc. Our new matriarchy must be even better. It must include every kind of woman, and we will work to make sure that the restoration of the female principle does speak to all our needs. Because sex cuts across all lines, race, class, age, all kinds of power and privilege, so must our revolution. But we have a strong model to look back for inspiration. And we need not be limited by anything in building our new society. Just as the Amazons fought to defend matriarchy, we will develop a new kind of Amazonism to destroy patriarchy and to bring us forward to our new matriarchy. As lesbian separatists, we believe in directing our energy towards ourselves, and from a foundation of strength going out from ourselves and giving energy to other lesbians. We see this as our highest priority. We want to continually raise our own consciousness as well as our physical ability and other skills. We want to be able to fight in any way and perform all primary functions ourselves. In addition to seeing lesbian separatism as a good, positive thing, we also see it as a viable permanent alternative which will prepare us for the time when we will be able to reinstate new forms of the old matriarchal societies and when, once again, the female principle will have jurisdiction over the earth. We trust and welcome any lesbian and encourage her to join us in defeating male supremacy. We took many different routes to get to where we all are now. However, these differences need not be divisive as long as we are willing to recognize them and struggle around them, and as long as we agree on who we are and what we have hope to accomplish. Hope. Did somebody say hope? Coalitions. We can foresee the possibility of allying with other groups over specific issues or projects. These temporary coalitions, however, can never be used to dilute our politics or be at our expense. Too often we've seen lesbians exploited in coalitions. Hi, Greenpeace. I'm fast-forwarding. On the other hand, we have dug beneath the facades of many myths, perpetrated by the straight women's movement where all differences were supposed to be ignored under the guise of sisterhood. We have realized that not all women are our sisters, much as we would like to believe that they are. I'm old sentimental like that. I want to believe that. There are many differences among us, race, class, age, lifestyles, etc. But it is impossible to see these things as differences, not divisions, to analyze them and provide a framework which leads to understanding and the elimination of these differences being oppressive to us in any way. One of the major differences seems to be how men and their privilege is viewed. We no longer believe that we are all just people, just human beings. Either you are a man or a woman. Either you have male privilege or you don't. Either you get benefits from that privilege as a straight woman, or you don't. I'm sorry, I'm trying to turn a page with one hand. Okay. More than a question of sexual preference. Lesbianism, therefore, is more than a question of sexual preference. We do, in fact, prefer to sleep with women because we are lesbians, because we love women, because we see women as the only true people, and because our complete identity and source of support is from other women. We not only prefer to sleep with women, we love it, and we would have not ever considered sleeping with men. Not because we hate men, which we do, but because even if we could be attracted to a man, which is pretty far-fetched, all men are our enemy. Men as a class are the oppressors of women, and it is due to all of men's institutions, the nuclear family, marriage, and the home, the church, the state, schools, laws, the army, pornography, that keep lesbians and other women oppressed and exploited every day of our lives for thousands of years since patriarchy conquered the matriarchal societies. We do not want to fraternize with men, our enemy. This will be my last bit because I'm getting a little tired and I need to have breakfast. Male children. Just as we believe that no woman should relate to a man and rob herself of precious time and energy in trying to change one, or our millions of male oppressors, we believe that no woman should relate to raising male children. The patriarchal system is crumbling, and men are therefore beginning to wage all-out genocide against us in a last-ditch effort to hold themselves up. Considering this, it is obvious that no personal solutions can adequately deal with the problem. Women raising male children hope that because of their influence, their child will not grow up to be a pig, or at least only half as piggy. But this is impossible. Societal conditioning and socialization are vastly powerful, and since all men oppress all women, there are no exceptions. Further, this dynamic will only be reversed when women reinstate new forms of matriarchy. In the past, women in Amazon societies had several alternatives as to how to relate to male children. They either gave them to the men to raise, killed them at birth, or, this is my favorite part, maimed them to ensure that they could never be physically stronger and be able to fight against the women, or be anything but just a bard in their society. We realize that all these possibilities seem very extreme. We also realize that third world women who face a different reality and feel that their families, including males, will be necessary in fighting racism and fascism may not adhere to our ideas. We cannot, therefore, make this part of our ideology applicable to all women. We do reiterate, however, based on each woman's situation and choice, that relating to male children is the same thing as relating to men and will never defeat supremacy by consorting with men. All right, I'm going to stop. That's enough. I feel better. I think this might be something I do. This might be a running joke on you, but a good thing for me. I mean, what am I supposed to do? You tell me. Email me, themenstrator@gmail.com. Fucking call me up, 3302-TAMPON. Listen, I would like to know what to do. I'm tired of it. I would just like to know what to do when I'm in my own home and I have someone outside of the home working in my home who is male who calls me motherfucking hun. And somebody be like, do you really care? Does it really matter? You know what? Yeah, it really fucking matters. It really matters, and don't. I didn't say anything because this individual wasn't under my work order. I don't know what I should have done. I should have kicked him out and let my sink bleed. I wanted the female handy person to do it, but the people who own this home, and I guess that's the key. I gotta own a home. I don't wanna own a home. I don't wanna pay taxes on this male society. I don't wanna give my money to men any more than they already take it from me. But that's just me. And I feel better, I feel lighter. But I'll be heavier throughout the day. And I encourage you all to be strong and try to have a male-free day.